Good morning. This meeting of the House Special Committee on Fisheries will come to order at 10:32 on Thursday, March 26th. Members present are Representative Vance, Representative Kopp, Representative Elam, and myself, Chair Stutz. Oh, and Speaker Edgemont. Welcome. We have a quorum to conduct business. Please silence your cell phones. We're asking members of the audience, please do not approach the table. If you would like to get a message to any one of us, please get the attention of my committee aide, Jane Pearson, and she will be delighted to help you out. I'd like to thank Andrew Magnuson, the House Fisheries Committee Secretary, and Kyla Tupo from the Juno LIO for our teleconferencing support. Today's meeting, we will have our first hearing on Senate Bill 158. Cook Inlet, new administrative area by Senator Bjorkman, who is here representative by his chief of staff, Conrad Jackson. And welcome, Representative Himshute. Mr. Jackson, if you'd come to the table, place yourself on the record, please, and begin your presentation.
Good morning, Madam Chair. For the record, Conrad Jackson, staff to Senator Bjorkman, and good morning, members of the Fisheries Committee. Senator Bjorkman does send his regrets. He's unavailable to be here this morning. Make a little space for all of my stuff. In short, Senate Bill 158 is it really a technical bill? It proposes new administrative area be established where Eastside SetNet permit holders have fished for decades. Gill nets have been used in some degree in the waters of Cook Inlet really for thousands of years. Set netters fished between the fish traps in the early days of commercial fishing, and after fish traps were outlawed, independent fishermen continued to catch salmon for sale at the canneries.
Excuse me for one moment while I recognize Representative McCabe.
My apologies, Madam Chair.
Thanks. No problem. Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Continue.
Thank you. For over 150 years, the salmon caught on the east side of Cook Inlet has been feeding people both locally and all over the world. This rich and renewable resource has fed and provided financial support for members, for residents of the Kenai Peninsula, for businesses around the peninsula, and other places in Alaska. Beach sites have taught generations of kids a great work ethic. They've helped maintain cultural ties to prior generations. In recent years, pressure from other user groups has increased, and set netters who have fished the east side of Cook Inlet have been subjected to reduced number of fishing opportunities. You know, as a fishery committee, you folks know, fishing periods, openers, they've just been reduced. Since 2017, when the implementation of paired restrictions was put in place, they've had an even more drastic impact on the fishery. In Cook Inlet, paired restrictions means that certain fishing activities like sport fishing for king salmon and set net fishing are automatically closed when the returns of king salmon in the rivers are deemed to be too low. Now, the target species of the nets of the Eastside Cook Inlet set netters are red salmon. Their catch of kings is minuscule, but they are subject to these paired restrictions. While that targeted species swims by close to where their beach sites are, really by the millions. These closures are unique to the Eastside set net fishermen. Permit holders who have fished in the six statistical areas that will make up this new administrative area proposed in Senate Bill 158 have been and continue to be managed uniquely. In fact, more uniquely than probably any fishery you could name in the world, I think, beyond just Alaska. Again, their targeted species swims by their beach sites. Other industries, other fishing opportunities are allowed, and they're not able to catch their targeted species. This bill, however, we are not in any way proposing to change the allocation of fish in Cook Inlet. Not at all. We do not propose any changes to the fishery itself. This is simply lines on the map. This is a new administrative area, which is made up of those six statistical areas that are shown on the map in your packet. Two statistical areas north of the Kenai River, two south of the Kenai River, but north of the Kosilof River, and then two statistical areas south of the Kosilof River. This new area will allow CFEC to better manage this unique fishery. Members, kind of in closing, Madam Chair, members may be wondering about the little A at the work order number in the top corner. The bill was amended on the floor of the other body. That was because in the process of moving the bill out of committee, the effective dates were not changed. They were not updated to 2027. A little awkward to have a bill take effect 4 months, five, 6 months before it was actually passed. So those were changed. We do have three permit holders on the phone. They should be on the phone for questions and some invited testimony, as well as Rick Green, the chairing commissioner of the CFEC, whose job it will be to administer and officially make this new administrative area.
And also online is Alpheus Bullard, the legislative legal counsel who must have created your legislation.
Yes, ma'am.
Do we have any questions?
I'll pick things up.
Please, send, Speaker Edgman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question for CFEC, maybe a bit of a softball, but I think an obvious question. Create a new administrative area, does that generate more work? Is there a fiscal impact? If Mr. Green, Madam Chair, could respond to that.
Did you hear that question, Mr. Green?
Yes, I did, Madam Chair, and thank you. And to the Chair, for the record, my name is Rick Green. I'm the Chair Commissioner of the CFEC. We can manage the reassignment of entry permits into this bill with our existing permitting staff and processes. We entered a zero fiscal note because we think we can absorb the work to do this with our existing staff.
Follow up?
No follow up.
Any other questions? Representative Vance.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And thank you, Conrad, for being here. And I appreciate Senator Bjorkman did come by my office and talk about this bill. I represent 44% of the Eastside senators, and so this is very important to me. And, you know, when I talked to him about the changes, he said this is essentially a paperwork kind of transition. So that's my question, is how can we help our fishermen? This bill passes. The transition period of these permit holders is a little bit of a concern. What kind of reassurance that we can give them that they're still going to retain the rights to their permits and be able to fish in the next season?
Through the chair, Representative Vance, thank you. The process is fairly well laid out, we feel, in Section 2 and in Section 3 of the bill. Once the new area is officially drawn, there's a process whereby CFEC will confirm that a permit holder has, in fact, been historically fishing in one of those six statistical areas. They will then have the opportunity to have their permit renewed. There's a different term for that. I apologize. It is escaping me. But their new permit is assigned to that new administrative area. We're not requiring anybody who has fished in the east side of Cook Inlet to remain in that district. If a person has been fishing that area and they decide, you know, I'd rather not be limited to that area, because as you know, a permit is assigned to that area. If a person decides they don't want to be assigned to that area, they're free to not be reassigned to the new administrative area. But we have, I think, set out a clear path forward to allow for that transition. If there are questions, by CFEC as to whether that permit would qualify or might potentially qualify to be reassigned to the new administrative area. There is an appeals process set out in the bill. And while that appeals process is ongoing, should a fishing opportunity come up, we have provisions to allow for a provisional license, a provisional permit to allow that permit holder to actually fish until that appeals process is resolved. I hope that answers your question.
Yes. Follow up?
Certainly. Representative Vance.
Is there how many permits can fit in this management area? Because we know that that CVC past couple of years finally did completed their survey. And, how does this fit with that optimum number? Because I know that the recommendation of how many permits would be able to retain a great yield is about half of the current permit holders. So how does that number impact what fits into this administrative area?
Thank you, Representative Vance. Through the chair, currently there are approximately 440 permits being fished on the east side of Cook Inlet. Assuming that all of them are renewed and take advantage of becoming members of the new administrative area, the administrative area actually is not full. There are areas where more people could fish. But I guess I would pose this question to you and the members: why would you? The fishing opportunities are minuscule. The advantage to having the new administrative area is it allows them, the fishermen, the permit holders in that area, to pursue an actual buyback. And we're not going back to the old legislation from the last decade or so. That was necessary to move forward with a buyback as the lines are currently drawn. Once the new administrative area is created, those fishermen, those permit holders have the opportunity, like other fishermen in other areas have done, to create their own buyback, their own permit retirement process. I haven't looked at the, I guess they called it a modified optimum number study that CFEC did a couple of years ago. But as I recall, their optimum numbers estimate was in the range of about 100 permits that fishing area can currently support. In the 80s, 440 permits were going gangbusters. That's not the case anymore.
I think that's all the questions that I have for right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there other questions?
Question.
Representative Kopp.
Yeah, thank you. Conrad, I really appreciate your rollout of this bill. Can you explain to us how this new administrative area that would encompass all six sections of the east side set net fishery, explain how the management works for that now in the upper sub-district, which includes all the set nets on the east side, and how it will change, how will management of the fisheries change when all those east side set nets are in their own management district?
Through the chair, Representative Kopp, I would at least partially defer to Mr. Green as far as management of the area. I can tell you from what I have seen and our intention of the bill, we're not attempting to change the management in any way. That's the powers outside of this building. We're drawing new lines on the map to incorporate those six statistical areas. We have hopes that a permit retirement program, a buyback, if you will, can be established, reduce the number of nets in the water, ultimately, mm-hmm. and hope to see some of those set net fishermen actually out in the water again, catching fish, teaching their kids to fish, their grandkids, and passing on that tradition. But we don't intend, we are not attempting in this bill to change the management or the administration of that fishery.
Okay. Mr. Green, Did you hear the question from Representative Kopp?
I did, Madam Chair, and if I could have it repeated again, I'd be grateful.
Representative Kopp.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Green, question is, as a result of this policy change where we now have the six total sections of the East Side SetNet areas all consolidated into a new single administrative area for purposes of managing the fishery. The bill sponsor saying that this isn't have to do much with management, but I see a lot of fisheries management implications. And I'm just wondering if you could talk us through what that might look like for the SetNetters having their own management district versus being managed kind of collectively with the drift fleet now.
Just like a cop through the chair. For CFEC, this bill would simply change the administrative structure of the fishery, not the number of permits authorized through limited entry or the management plan as set forth by the Board of Fisheries. That would be really up to them to change the management. For CFEC, it would simply be an administrative structure of the fishery, not a change to the fishery.
So the administrative structure by setting this up as its own district is to firmly delineate this area and not allow any further set nets in and eventually see the current number of fishermen there be decreased over time. Am I understanding the policy implication correctly?
Through the chair, Senator Kopp, as I understand it, yeah, again, this just changes the administrative structure. The management of the fishery, as determined by the Board of Fish, would still apply to the entire area, and then they would have to make calls on this special new area. But again, that's outside the purview of CFEC.
Sure. So I guess through the chair,
absolutely.
Yeah, Conrad, I guess back to you. Is this kind of a negotiated policy issue with Carissa to eventually, you know, phase out East Side set netting?
There have been, through the chair, I apologize, Representative Kopp, there have been many conversations with many fishing groups on the Kenai Peninsula over the years since I think about 2017. When the original bill that included a new administrative area and a buyback was introduced by former Senator Michiki, they were supportive and, as far as I know, are still supportive of this. They haven't been involved in drawing the lines or doing any of that. So it's not real. I can't call it a negotiated anything. Yeah. This was actually a concept that was brought forward by SetNet fishermen.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Conrad. So as far as your conversations with fishermen, do they feel this will help the value of their permits or have any negative impact to the value of their permits?
Through the chair, Representative Kopp, I think that question is probably something that you'll hear from the three SetNet permit holders that will testify later. But I think that they're hoping that it gives them an opportunity to have more say in how that area is managed. Right now, they are part of the entire Cook Inlet. Once the new lines are drawn, the new administrative area is created, they have, I guess the best word would be, they have some power to negotiate, to figure out what they're going to do to potentially reduce those permits and therefore the number of nets that would be in the water.
Very good. Thank you.
But I can tell you that, I think about 6 years ago, maybe a little more than that, in the former senator's office, a poll was conducted. I don't have the numbers again in front of me. I'm happy to provide those to the committee. We had a very high number of returns on the poll, in excess, I believe, of 60%. And of those who responded, about 90, high 90s, mid 90s percent of the respondents were approving and supportive of that whole plan. Was it 100%? No. But it was a substantial number of the permit holders wanted to see something done. Yes, sir.
Okay. And again, Conrad, this was a voluntary buyback. And my memory was we were trying to set up an account through which other monies could be deposited into to compensate fishermen to sell their permits and basically forego their shore fishery leases from any further fishing, but on a voluntary basis.
Yes.
Was that successful? I forget how that ended up.
Through the chair, Representative Kopp, first, it was not successful, but you were absolutely correct. It was totally voluntary program. Again, we're not proposing a buyback. Mm-hmm. This is just lines on a map. I keep saying that, but over the years, the buyback term just ran into some resistance. But totally voluntary. We're not trying to move anyone out of the fishery. We would love to see every one of those 440 permit holders putting their nets in the water come June. We would love to see that on the peninsula. However, the management of the fisheries just doesn't allow for that. The Board of Fish will determine that. I guess that's really all I have to add. It totally voluntary. And again, supported by the vast majority of the fishermen. I believe I remember hearing testimony from a number of set net permit holders over the years in opposition to that bill, not this bill. And I don't believe there were more than six off the top of my head who actually didn't feel that it was an appropriate piece of legislation. And I guess without meaning to be derogatory, I think they were, as people on the Fisheries Committee will understand, they were highliner beach sites.
Sure.
They weren't having a problem catching fish. Other folks were starving on the beach.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So it wasn't necessary in their mind.
Well, along those lines, along your note, I think it's important to note on the buyback legislation, which again, as you've clearly delineated this from the buyback, there was no stakeholder participation. They were looking for other people to pay to buy back their permits, which was a big drawback. But that being said, this has nothing to do with it, and I will go to Representative Elam.
Thank you. Appreciate the presentation. Looking at the map in the packet here, I was just wondering if maybe you could kind of explain a little bit, or maybe add some depth to the different districts and the maps and what this will accomplish. Is this a future state map or is it the current state?
Through the chair, Representative Elam, this was current at the time of printing. I don't believe that anything has changed for the statistical areas that are shown on the map. These have been, I think this is the same map that I've used for over a decade. The statistical areas, and again, Commissioner Green could explain more about statistical areas. I'm not an expert on that. I'm barely a fisherman. But the areas, these are just delineating the areas that have always been called the east side set netters. That's where they fish. Further down below Nanilchik, down towards Anchor Point. I'm really not sure what they call them down there. But these are the areas of east side set net fishermen.
Okay. Follow up, please.
Follow up, Representative Elam.
Thank you. And so the new administrative district would consist of which lines on here?
I'm not sure if your copy was colored.
Oh, no, it is not. Or slightly.
There's two statistical areas above the Kenai River. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
North of the Kenai River, mm-hmm. up the beach, there are two statistical areas between the Kenai and the Kasilof River. And then there are two statistical areas below the Kasilof River. All along the beach on the east side, on the right-hand side of your map.
Okay.
You've got the Kenai and the Kasilof Rivers here, those areas above, between, and then below.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Himshute.
Thank you. Through the chair, I think it's for Conrad.
So once, if this legislation became law, then a set netter CFEC would figure out who's in, who's out. Can someone opt in later? Someone who's currently, so right now you can fish wherever, right? So you could be west side, east side, and you can choose that annually. Is that correct?
Yes. Through the chair, Representative Himmelshoot, a set net permit that is currently being fished or not fished in this case on the east side of Cook Inlet could be moved to another area in Cook Inlet. The goal here is to draw that new administrative area. There's no one coming into that area now. I don't personally foresee anyone wanting to come in. I wouldn't buy a permit in an area where I can't fish. It seems like that just doesn't seem like a wise investment. So the goal would not be to allow more fishermen to come into that area. The goal would be to mark that area off, and then those permit holders would determine and with the work of CFEC, how many permits were actually a good number to have in that area. They may decide to come up with a buyback program of their own, fund it in whatever way they choose. It keeps this building out of the buyback process. I think in hopes that they are able to fish at some point in the future.
Yeah, follow up?
Yes, thank you.
Please.
Through the chair. So let's imagine a day in 10 years or 20 where there's a ton of fish, they're coming back, and everybody wants to fish. Mm-hmm. What impact would this legislation have on a future day of abundance?
Through the chair, Representative Himmelshoot, I think that would fall on CFEC. They are the arbiters of the limited entry fisheries. If there are enough fish coming in and they're actually being opened by the Board of Fish to fish, I would expect that CFEC would feel that additional permits put back into the area is sustainable.
And follow up?
Certainly.
So this legislation allows CFEC to move that number. We would be out of the process at that point, and it would be CFEC's decision. All we're doing is saying, you're managing this area, you decide, CFEC, how many permits.
Through the chair, Representative Himmelshoot, as I understand it, you as legislators are out of that process already. No one here gets to decide the number of permits. That's CFEC, just like the Board of Fish process and allocation. We're not proposing to change any of that. We're not saying that you need to put more in later or take more out now. It makes that administration process of those areas easier and cleaner for a very unique fishery.
Okay, thank you.
That's frankly already being managed uniquely. They're closed down.
Representative Himmelshoot, that's where the optimum number studies come in. Yeah. The CFEC does. Question, Representative Elam.
Well, not to get into the controversial subject.
Good.
Of
don't do it.
but I just wanted to say that there is an abundance of fish. It's that there's a limited amount of kings, but we have a very high number of reds. Mm-hmm. But I'll leave it at
Representative
that.
Elam, there are a number of limited number of kings worldwide, which was really interesting to me.
Yes.
Worldwide, they're experiencing this same thing. So,
but we have
we hear you loud and clear.
Right, it's the
we're not getting into it, okay. Representative right. Elam. So, any other questions, Representative Vance?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The first is, do we have anyone from Fishing Game online?
We do not.
Okay, I would.
We can have someone next week, or when we bring this bill back up.
I would love to have that conversation because. Right now, the entire Cook Inlet is managed as one fishery, and they can often release emergency orders and say, okay, this side can fish, this pocket over here, and they make adjustments in season, and that's valuable. It's been unfortunate conflict, and typically these set netters are the first to be restricted. So I want to know what these practical implications would look like as a separate administrative area. And then the next questions I have are around the this transition language. And I know Conrad mentioned that we need to adjust the dates. But I do have a question for CFEC that it talks about a provisional entry permit. It's on line 16 of the last paragraph. How long is this provisional permit? And what is that going to look like? I just want to make sure that if we do this, that the fishermen are going to have certainty and reduce any ambiguity and legal concerns.
Mr. Green, did you happen to hear the question from Representative Vance? Is he still there? Yes. He's gone? Oh, well, we'll save that question for next time, and we'll ask Mr. Okay. Green to join us again.
Well, and I do have another question, because Conrad is always full of answers. On this, an individual, in the transition language, an individual may appeal to the CFAC. Is there a deadline, a typical deadline for appeal? And do we need to include that? Because I see that there's a deadline to appeal to the Superior Court, but when they are going through this process with CFAC, what deadlines do our fishermen need to expect?
Through the chair, Representative Vance, if I could correct a statement that you made earlier, as far as the effective dates, those were adjusted in the other okay. body. So we don't need if the will of the committee is to adjust them, certainly the current dates in the bill before you do work. They've been adjusted from 2026 to the same days in 2027. So these work.
Follow up?
Certainly.
So it says it takes effect January of 27. My concern is that on line 14, it says an appeal under this section must be made to the Superior Court. If they didn't get what they wanted through CFAC, they make an appeal to the Superior Court by March 1st of 2027. Yes, ma'am. That seems like a very short timeline to me for a decision to, you know, CFAC permit, and then they have a turnaround time to make a court appeal. Is that normal?
Through the chair, Representative Vance, I don't think anything we're doing here is normal.
Good point.
This is a very unique fishery again. I am not a CFEC expert. Unfortunately, Commissioner Green had to drop off. I believe they've got another ongoing meeting. But that question would be best addressed to him on how long it's going to take to make this happen. I can tell you, if I can, Madam Chair, in drafting this, we did have numerous conversations with former Commissioner Glenn Height.
Uh-huh. And
I don't recall any concerns being expressed by Mr. Height. Whether that's changed since then, I can't tell you, but there were no concerns expressed at that time.
Representative Vance, I think you brought up a good point, though. And I think that point being there is no time frame for the CFEC itself. And as we know, we got into a big bind with a lot of unresolved issues pertaining to issues just like this with the CFEC. There was over 3,000 unresolved cases at one point. You know, what we're happy to say they have been resolved. But so I think you have some good points that you've brought up.
Yes, Madam Chair. I'm just wanting clarification is, you know, the bill passes into law, goes into effect January of 27. What do our fishermen need to do with in regards to the shift in the paperwork and the permitting? What's their responsibility and the timeline of making that contact with CFEC and knowing, hey, this isn't the decision that I was hoping, and then making that appeal? I'm not seeing a timeline that's reasonable for them to be able to respond.
And CFEC to respond to them. I think yes. That's mm-hmm. pretty critical in the whole picture, but certainly we'll Representative
yeah.
Kopp.
Yeah, to the chair, I really support kind of the line of questioning that Representative Hemshoot and Representative Vance brought up to future impacts to the fishery. If we select them out now, what are the management implications for selecting them out, and then what can that look like going forward when the fishery changes, which we all certainly hope the kings come back. But most of the world's biologists say they're a very ancient species, and it's likely they're on their way out for various reasons. But yeah, just wondering if there's management implications where we need to be thinking about how Fish and Game will change that once they are their own administrative area, rather than just being designated as shore fisheries right now. And shore fisheries are either permitted or not permitted to fish. But I don't know. I'm a little, you know, I completely support the thoughts of the bill sponsor. And I'm trying not to go black helicopter, as Speaker Edgman frequently says, but I'm just trying to think long term what that could be. I am a former Nanelchik Beach set netter, and so I'm very empathetic to all those fishermen down there, and just want to make sure we've thought this through. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, we certainly at our next hearing will ask for the Department of Fish and Game to join us, as well as CFEC once again. Other questions? Seeing none, I'd like to move to invited testimony then. And with that, we have on the line, we'll start with Lisa Gabrielle. If you would state your name and any affiliation and begin your testimony, please.
Thank you, Chair Stutes and House Fisheries Committee members. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, thank you. My name is Lisa Gabriel. I live in Kenai, and I'm testifying today on behalf of myself and my family. I've been an Eastside set netter for nearly 40 years. I'm calling today in support of Senate Bill 158. Senate Bill 158 seeks to create a administrative area in Upper Cook Inlet to regulate certain commercial sets specifically for that area known as the Senate fishery. This legislation will make the Eastside set net fishery its own administrative area, thus allowing permits to be regulated in the areas in Upper and Lower Cook Inlet. The statistical areas that encompass the Eastside set net fishery are very different than the other statistical areas, as it includes harvests from two of the most prized rivers in South Central Alaska, the Kenai and the Kasila, the gems of the Kenai Peninsula. The value of the new administrative area is that it will allow CFEC to determine our fishery participation more easily. We are managed uniquely, and with that, we need an administrative area that reflects the uniqueness of that management. With the Eastside set net fishery qualifying for federal fisheries disasters for the last 6 of 7 years, with the governor's request for year number 8 just recently being submitted to the Department of Commerce, it's apparent that we need to do something to change that trajectory. Being bulked in with all other areas in Cook Inlet has not allowed us to do that. In the fishery resources, unlimited sport, guided sport, personal use fisheries, participating alongside limited commercial set, drift gillnet fisheries, we need to identify the best management approach. Senate Bill 158 will allow CFEC to predict the optimum number of permits in the Eastside set net fishery, which will allow fisheries managers to make informed decisions on our fishery year after year. Waiting on the beach, as we have for 7 of the last 8 years, has not been the best outcome for our fishery. I urge you today to support Senate Bill 158, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Ms. Gabriel? Seeing none, we will then go to Gary Hollier. Gary?
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the House Fisheries Committee. My name is Gary Hollier. I'm a 72-year lifelong resident of Kenai. I own and operate a multi-set net permit operation in Cook Inlet. Our multi-generational family fishing business set nets on North Kalaponska Beach, just south of the Kenai River. I started fishing the area in 1971. I received an original set net permit in Cook Inlet in 1974 from CFEC. My family, which includes 2 kids and 5 grandchildren, are all lifelong residents, and we own 8 permits. For the better part of the last 15 years, the Eastside set net fishery has been under considerable duress. The biological and more so political climate has brought our fisheries to its knees. As Lisa said, the Eastside set net fishery in 2018, 20, 21, 22, 23, and now so 24, and it looks like 25 have also met the criteria for fishing disasters. On February 11th, 2026, ADF&G issued emergency order number 2, closing the Eastside Set Net Fishery for the 2026 season. March of 2026, at the statewide meeting, RC-177 closed set gill nets and the Stock of Concern Management Plan for late-run Kenai Kings and implemented only a beach-seine fishery. Major impacts to our fishery, which we don't know what the impacts will be. I urge the members of the House Fishery Committee to pass SB 158. This bill is a small step, but is desperately needed to help the Eastside Set Net Fishery. In making this Eastside Set Net Fishery its own fishing section, it would give the 400 small business owners in this very unique fishery some ability to self-regulate itself. The CFPC has the authority to make these changes to the set net fishery. Additionally, there is no fiscal note to the state of Alaska passing SB 158. As I see it, there is zero management implications with this new administration area. I thank you for your time and efforts for serving the state of Alaska. Please pass SB 158 out of committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Hollier? Thank you kindly for your testimony. We appreciate it. And lastly,
thank you.
Lastly, we have Mr. Johnson, Greg Johnson. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please begin your testimony. Oh, brief at ease. Fisheries will come back on record at 11:18. Thank you. We had a little snafu there. Mr. Johnson, are you available there? If so, please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony. Mr. Johnson? Well, while we're waiting for him, Mr. Jackson, I have a question for you. And my question is that you stated that there's like 400, give or take, a few permits in that area. Are all permit holders, do they all have the option of signing up for this area? Or is it going to be limited to a number, first come, first serve, or... any idea on that?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Conrad Jackson, staff to Senator Bjorkman. Yes, there are approximately 440 permits. That number varies a little bit from year to year. The eligibility is determined by CFEC based on Section 2 of the bill. 2 and 3, I guess. But everyone who currently has a permit that has that history of fishing is totally eligible. But it's optional. If they want to take that permit and go fish right. The rest of Cook Inlet.
But they will have the option.
Yes, ma'am.
That was my concern. Representative Vance.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm reading through this. And it says on line 12 on page 2 that their entry permit will be renewed. And then on line 23... an individual who provides proof satisfactory to CPC shall be reassigned an entry permit on January 1st, 2027. So the effective date of the bill is January 1st, 2027. So it appears that the current permit holders will automatically be reassigned. But when is their normal renewal period with CFEC? And when do they have to provide proof satisfactory to CPC?
Representative Vance, through the chair, I'm not a commercial fisherman, not a commercial fishing expert. I believe that it is January of each year for renewal. But Representative Kopp may be able to answer that question as a former set netter.
Representative Kopp, can you help us out?
Yes, ma'am. The renewal period for annually for the permit opens up April 15th. And when you actually get your permit, it actually goes through the calendar year into the top of the next year. And then you have to pay for the year you're in by April 15 to April 30 timeframe. That's generally when the permits are renewed for that coming summer season. But so they're renewed in the spring.
Representative Vance?
Thank you for that. And that's why I have concern about the March deadline to appeal to the Superior Court. Because this says they've already been essentially rolled over from the current administrative area to the new one. They just have to say, yes, I'm still in standing, fish for the last 5 years. Because they're going to be looking at that normal renewal, which is their proof to CFEC that they're the permit holder. But that this one date on the appeal section is where maybe they might need one more month. I appreciate your patience as we're kind of understanding like all of the dates and timelines and things like that in this. So any other gaps that you can fill in for us as we're getting the picture of how this rollover is going to happen?
Representative Vance, that is really a CFEC question. As I said before, the former Commissioner Height didn't express any concerns. He seemed to think that was an adequate time frame. But as has been pointed out in some conversations off the record, we do only have one commissioner at CFEC. I don't know how that plays into the timeline, and if they need more time to provide an adequate amount of appeals time, I don't see that the sponsor would have any objection to that. We want to be fair to all permit holders.
Okay. Mr. Jackson, we're going to move forward. I'm sorry. And we will have the CFEC as well as the department at the next meeting. But apparently Mr. Johnson is back. Mr. Johnson?
Can you hear me?
Oh, we can hear you now, sir. Would you like to state your name and affiliation for the record, please, and begin your testimony?
Thank you. Thank you, members. My name is Greg Johnson. I represent my family. We hold seven of these licenses. We fish directly between the Kasiloff and Kenai Rivers. I fish for 46 years in this area. Is an example of our current situation. In a normal year, we would fish 21 nets with those seven licenses. Under the current King Salmon Recovery Plan, we can fish up to five of those licenses, up to a maximum of 6 days per year. There's a lot of things on the table and desires by people outside of our fishery and or Board of Fish members, and one such thing is the use of alternative gear. So in that case, potentially, we could go from 21 nets down to one a piece of alternative gear. So you can see there's a lot going on here. So I support this SB 158 to help us help ourselves and determine something for the future that will be functional. One of the main reasons that this needs to be done, in my estimation, is that if we reduce this fishery, or if you consolidate it, or something like any number of outcomes, we want to cap it. Otherwise, other permit holders that never fished in this area will migrate in, and they'll confound the result in the future moving forward. So we had a family discussion about this bill and everything in the future of the fishery, and I have 230 young or early 30s sons, and they don't want to get out of it. That's not our family's objective. We want to fish in the future. whether that's reduced or others want to reduce enough that we can just keep our gear and keep going. But we want to have a viable fishery. The opportunity still exists in Cook Inlet to do so. But in terms of conservation, you know, we're not going to get any opportunity unless the kings come around. And conservation is not new to this fishery. If the sockeye runs poor, it's not an if you'll close, you will close to protect the fish. But the real concern for all of us, I guess, is the allocation implications in this fishery. It, you know, ever since I got in the fishery, there's been a slow erosion of opportunity to the fishery. And through the Board of Fish process, with no, I think we finally come to a point where you just can't absorb anymore, even if the king salmon were there. It's just there's too many in-river and river-mouth users. The citizens of the state of Alaska wanted more opportunity, and they've sought it, and they've got it, and that's good. But the fishery hasn't been adjusted to keep us viable moving forward. So those are some of the main things I would say, and we just need the opportunity to help ourselves right-size this fishery. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Mr. Johnson? Seeing none, Mr. Johnson, thank you, and we're sorry for the delay, but we appreciate your testimony. And do we, Mr. Jackson, if you could step forward, if you have any closing comments or if this committee has any further questions for you? I see no further questions. Any closing comments?
Madam Chair, through the record, or for the record, Conrad Jackson, staff to the Senator Bjorkman. No comments other than to just say thank you for the time and thank you for the questions and digging into this issue. It is very important to the set net permit holders on the east side of Cook Inlet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, we let's see. I don't see where we have set a. Amendment date. We will set an amendment date for today is Thursday. How about Tuesday? Tuesday.
We don't have committee next week.
I know. That's fine. So Tuesday, no later than 5 o'clock to my office if you have any amendments. And due to the floor schedule next week with the Easter weekend coming, we're going to be quite busy, so we won't have fisheries next week. We will resume on the 7th, and we will be sending you out the schedule for that at that prior to. So, oh, now I know you're disappointed.
Saw a little tear.
Oh, look at that Cheshire cat. Okay. So with that, I want to thank you all. We have no further business to come before the committee, and we will adjourn at 11:29.